Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. All right, if you guys would come into the sanctuary, we're going to get started here in about a minute. Come on in, find a seat. I love this podium. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Tilts, raises, lowers, all that stuff. Come on in, come on in. I'll give you another 30 seconds. But don't run and spill your coffee. That's okay. Hudson, you going to preach with me?
He was like, I was talking.
Hudson. Hudson, Hudson, you going to preach with me? You going to preach with me? Okay. Well, good morning, Passion Community Church. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say it again.
Praise the Lord.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you know you just said the same thing? Hallelujah is derived from the word hallel, which means praise. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. You didn't know you spoke Hebrew, did you? When you say the word hallelujah, you are saying praise the Lord in Hebrew. That's awesome, isn't it? How do I know that? Because Jesus, when he had the Last Supper with the disciples, how many remember that's Passover dinner, right? After supper, they sang a hymn. And that hymn was called a hallel. And the hallel comes from the Psalms, specifically Psalm 113 through 118. It's a hallel. And what that is they were singing praise to the Lord. And so do you. I'm so grateful this morning that you've come here and you've give God your best praise this morning, because that's awesome. I love it when God's people come and praise Him in His house. And that's awesome for me. I also want to say this. Tehillah means song of praise. I preached a sermon years ago, and I talked about tequila, and I said, tequila will heal you, but tequila will kill you. Tequila is a Hebrew word for song of praise. And that's a fact. Tequila will kill you. Ask me how I know. Now, the plural of that is tehillim. Tehillim. That's Hebrew for book of Psalms. So everything that we've been studying, reading, pastor's been preaching on is Tehillim. It's the book of praises. And this morning we're going to go to Psalm chapter 34, if you will go there in your Bible with me this morning. Psalm 34, we're going to read verse 1 through 8. But before we do, I'm going to give you a little background on it. I'm going to take you back to a scene that's in a cave. I call this, I've titled this sermon, Praise from the Cave. We find our hero, King David. He's not yet a king yet, but he's running for his life. He's on the run from the current king, King Saul. King Saul was jealous of David. Now, all David did was be an awesome dude. He was a giant killer, right? And he served in the courts of the king. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he was his armor bearer to the king. He was like the right-hand man. He was protecting the king at all costs. And at times, the evil spirit would come upon Saul. I'm sorry, not an evil spirit, a spirit from the Lord, a distressing spirit from the Lord, I should say. Came upon Saul, and evil thoughts came to his mind. And he was delirious with hatred and rage and anger. And he called for someone to come and play the harp for him. And they found who? David. David came and would play the harp. How many knows that music calms the savage beast? So David would string his harp. And the distressing spirit from the Lord would subside from Saul. And Saul would come back to himself. So Saul had every reason to love David. Every reason in the world. And yet jealousy came upon Saul so strong, so heavy, so powerful that he chased David across the country trying to kill him. His goal in life from that point on for Saul was to kill David. Why? Because he was afraid that David would take over his throne. Now listen, David had already been anointed by God. Samuel had already come to the sons of Jesse and said, "Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one?" Seven times. Seven sons of Jesse were rejected from being king. But there was one who was out tending sheep in his field. His name was David. And Saul said, "That's the one." And he anointed David to be king of Israel. Now, David, being a loyal man, being a faithful man, this understood, hey, I'm anointed to be king, but I am not going to be king as long as Saul is alive. Because Saul was God's anointed man. And David understood, hey, God called Saul, I'm going to wait my turn. I've been anointed to be king someday. And he was a young man at that time. I'm going to be king someday. But I'm going to wait upon the Lord. And in his timing, this will come to pass. Now, Saul didn't see it that way. I don't know if Saul got the message that David had been anointed king or not, but I know this. He was jealous as a day as long, and jealous, all it does was stir up bitterness in your soul. And it caused angry and vengeful thoughts. So don't. That's if we have anything that you could take away from today's sermon, do that. Don't be jealous. Don't let jealousy take hold of you. But here we have jealousy taking a hold of King Saul, and David's running for his life. He hides himself in a cave. And so we find him writing this psalm from inside the cave. Now imagine yourself running for your life in fear. Listen, and Saul ain't coming by himself. He's coming with a whole boatload of army folk that are going to take David out in one swoop. But David, in his trust in the Lord, writes this psalm from a cave. From a cave. Imagine your lowest point in your life. What was the lowest point in your life? And you imagine penning a song of praise, a hallel, tehillah, praise unto the Lord in a cave. Imagine the lowest point in your life and you find yourself writing a song of praise. That's an amazing thing. It's an incredible thing. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Let's read verse 1 through 8. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, awesome. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let us pray. Father God, we love you. Lord, it's our privilege and an honor here to be in this place this morning into your house to praise you, to offer up hallelujahs to you. It's a hard-fought hallelujah, Lord, sometimes. But God, we give you the hallelujah. We give you the praise because you deserve it, God. Because you are worthy of our praises. You're worthy of all worship. You're worthy to be magnified, loved, and adored. You're worthy to be exalted, Lord. And so, Lord, we come into this house with praise. We enter your course with praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, my words would not be my own, but they would be truly your words. Lord, hide me behind your cross, that they may see you as I speak. God, bless your word and help us to receive it with gladness and joy, that it may accomplish all that you desire in us today. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Imagine yourself being on the run. And listen, it wasn't just a short time that David was on a run. It was a long, extended run. Why? Because he knew that Saul was hot on his heels at every turn, at every corner. There was a spear, there was an arrow awaiting him if he ever got caught. So he was on the run for a long time, but he said this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, even when things are hard, even when things are tough, even when things look like they're way out of control and I'm going to be shot through by somebody's arrow. I will bless the Lord. Do you know that you can bless the Lord? I don't know if you realize that or not. You can bless His name. How do I bless His name, Pastor Chaz? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you, we bless His name when we heap up our praises unto Him, even when things don't look good. We bless Him. We're blessing the heart of a father. This morning we talked about that in our Bible study. We have it 9:15 to 10:15 every Sunday morning. You're welcome to come. Shameless plug. Love our Bible study. But do you know that He is your Father? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you receive more than salvation. You received Him as a Father, and you have become a child of God, a son and a daughter of God. We can bless Him just like you can bless your own father with Father's Day gifts. I mean, enjoy Father's Day, right? My children bless me. Because I'm their father. I love them more than life itself. And when they bless me, they bless my heart. We can bless Him. And David's like, I'm going to bless God in the middle of this rotten cave. There's bats all over the place. And if there's bats, there's what? Bat poop. Right? I almost said crap from the pulpit. There's bat crap. If there's bats, there's bat crap. Right? But in the midst of all of that, the stench, the stinky stench, the humidity, I'm sure. We're in Israel here. It's hot. It's a desert in some spots. And in this cave, I'm sure it was infested with all kinds of creepy, crawly critters, right? Hard to stay warm in the night and hard to stay cool in the day. But he said, I'm going to bless the Lord, and His praises will continually be in my mouth. Now, some of you this morning, listen, and you don't have to raise your hands. You had a really hard time praising God this morning. And listen, I'm not blaming you for that. Life happens to all of us. Sometimes you have to get up in the middle of the night because your 3-year-old daughter's got a temperature out of this world. Man, I love it. I love it. He said he prayed over the doorposts in her room. Man, I love that. You know what that is? That's a father crying out to the Father. He said, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be in my mouth. That's his attitude. Praise God. But you may have had a bad week. You may have had a bad morning. Matter of fact, listen, I know some of you drove with your husband, your wife to church this morning, and you guys were, trading jabs. And you probably came to church, and you're all festered up, and you're all ready to, wired up, ready to do something crazy. But it's time to come into the house of God and praise Him and worship Him. Listen, it's a hard fight, hallelujah, sometimes. But let it be a hallelujah nonetheless. Because whether you're festered, aggravated, or in fear of your life, your praises are exactly the same in God's ears. You will fill His ears with His praises, and it will bless Him. You got the power to bless God? Yes, you do. And so do I. And that was David's attitude. Listen, David had an attitude of gratitude even as a homeless cave dweller on the run. He was a homeless man. I'm sure his beard was all down to here and ragged because he didn't have a razor or anything. I'm sure his hair was blown out like this here because he didn't have no one to cut his hair. I'm sure he stunk like, I wasn't going to say it. He stunk really, really bad. I'm sure his clothes were torn and ragged. I'm sure that he was filthy, dirty, because he hadn't had a bath in days and weeks. Imagine praising God from that position. And yet, that's exactly what he does. Why? Because he knows that his praise is going to do something in that atmosphere. Come on, somebody, tell me. God, when we begin to praise God, no matter what, it changes the atmosphere of the entire place. And it only takes one. He teaches us here that continual praise keeps the cursing, the complaining, the bitterness, and the resentments out of our mouths and out of our souls. When we begin to curse and harbor resentments, and we begin to be bitter of soul, it impacts us on our soul level more than any other part of our being. It's something that, listen, your soul becomes full of this bitterness and you have no outlet for it. You have nowhere for it to go, and it always manifests itself in some kind of violence, whether verbal violence or physical violence, a violence of some sort. Listen, let that rage be emptied out of your soul. Huh? Let that bitterness be emptied out of your soul. When you reach your hands up to the heavens and you begin to praise God, it's an attitude of gratitude, knowing who you are in Him. David realized who he was in God. He realized who he was in His kingdom. And he praised Him and he worshiped Him out of that and not his feelings. We can't go on feelings, because your feelings will change like the weather and the wind. Anybody, how many likes a higher weather? Not. Listen, rain and cold for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then, bam, we're into the heat of summer, 90 plus degrees. But that is exactly what our feelings will get us. You cannot live this life out of your feelings. But what you can do is you can live this life out of the joy of your soul when you begin to praise the one who put it there. Someone say amen. I've got joy way deep down in my soul because God put it there. Why? Because I reached out to Him. I called upon Him and He answered me. And all of those things culminated into my praise. I got to give it back to Him. I got to give it back to Him. Verse 2, he says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Our soul is transformed as we praise God. Let me say it again. Our soul is transformed as we praise God. A soul that's transformed has a way different look than those who have not. A soul that's transformed has brightness in their face, brightness in their eyes. The countenance, the Bible calls it their countenance, has changed. There's something about you that's different when you begin to praise the Lord, when you bless the Lord at all times, when your praises are lifted up to the heavens. Something happens in your soul. It's called a deposit. It's a deposit that God does through the Holy Spirit. Deposits that joy. Listen, that's why it feels good to raise your hands and worship Him. That's why it feels good to praise Him, because He unloads joy into our soul, that our soul will be filled with this joy, and the bitterness and the resentments and everything else of this world gets expelled out of us. That's why you love coming to church on Sunday morning. Amen. That's not why we love being here. That's why we love hearing the music. That's why we love singing and expressing our praise and gratitude to the Lord, because we get the joy down in our soul when we give Him our praise. The eyes are a window to the soul. And I can see when the Word of God's being preached to you, and I can stand up here and I can see the joy in your eyes if they're not closed. Now, some of you should have got more sleep last night. It's okay. It's all good. I don't care. It's all right. It's all right. As long as your ears are open. Well, but listen, I can see it in your eyes, the joy of the Lord. Why? Because you just got done praising Him. There's joy to be had, and it fills our soul, a place the devil can't touch it. Someone say amen. In verse 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Let me say it again. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Wait a minute. David's not in this cave alone. And I'm going to tell you what happened. The situation was this. David found himself in the cave. But let me tell you the rest of the story. There was 400 men who were men that were in debt or men that were had been in jail. They had no other purpose in life. They were the destitute, the downtrodden, and the poor. And they ran to the cave to be with David. 400 of them. Can you imagine? Now stop for a second. And I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking, David's already stinky, smelly. You got bat crap everywhere. You got bats. You got all the critters crawling around. There's filth. There's dirt. And all these 400 guys want to be here with David. They came to protect David. Because they knew he was the man of God. And here's what David said. He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together." What did David do? David just became a worship leader in a cave. Now listen, I know if Corey had to, he would be a worship leader in a cave. I just know him. He's that caveman type. That's what he would do. If it was just him in a cave, he would worship God with his guitar and everything he got, and his vocals and everything. But what he would do was he'd invite 400 more people to come and magnify the name of the Lord with him. And this is exactly what David did. It became a cave-dwelling praise fest with 400 plus one. Amen? So he encourages his 400 cave-dwelling friends to join him in this praise. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So you're telling me he had more in his soul for them, just for himself. He had enough in his soul that he can offer it to all of his friends. 400. Yes, that's true. That's true. That's because God can fill your soul for more than just you. I'm going to say it again. God can fill your soul for more than just you. Matter of fact, I think God's intention is to fill your soul with more joy than what you need, because he knows everybody else around you needs that joy as well. So many unified praisers are better than one, amen? But God will show up in a cave for just one. If you were the only one in that bedroom, you're the only one in the basement, or the only one in a trailer, if you're the only one in a tent, or if you're the only one wherever you are, in a car, he will absolutely bring his presence to bear in your praise. He will absolutely come and fill you with the joy because of your praise. Anywhere that you are, in any circumstance, in any situation in life, he will come and show up for one. But he showed up for 400. And can you imagine the unison, the voices of unison praising God at one time? We got that with about 75 or whatever it is in here on Sunday morning. Can you imagine a cave full of 400 people? That's incredible. That's incredible. But listen, David was a worship leader. He wrote the vast majority of the Psalms, and if he didn't write them, he helped other people write them. So you're telling me David was a king, a giant killer, a musician, a singer, and a worship leader? Yes, I am. And so much more. So much more. Many unified praisers are better than one, but God will show up for just the one. God will show up and God's presence will be magnified in the midst of just one. That's why we got worship leaders here, folks. Listen, they're not just good musicians, they're great musicians. They're not just good singers, they're great singers. But let me tell you, the first thing about them, that even if they didn't have an instrument and couldn't sing a tune in a bucket, the first thing about them is they are worshipers. And they're here to do one thing. They're here to bring the joy. Huh? They're here to draw the presence of God. They're here to encourage you and me to get into the presence of God with our worship and our praise. Why? Because they know that the joy is going to be poured out as we do. Someone say amen. I thank God. I thank God for this worship team. It's an awesome worship team. They have an awesome leader. They do great things. That's a lot of work that they do. And not only them, but the guys back here on the tech team, God bless you. They work very hard, very diligent. And all that comes together. And this is why we come here on a Sunday morning. It's called a worship service for a reason. We come here this morning and every Sunday morning, and anytime you're in the house of God, we come together to worship and praise Him. Why? Because He's already done great things in your life. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me. And listen, every time I read this verse, I hear this. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord. Listen, so many songs have been written from this psalm. It's unreal. Why? Because David gets it to the heart of praise and worship with this psalm. I sought the Lord. Listen, what does that tell me? I sought the Lord and He heard me. It tells me that He's faithful. Number one, it tells me He's alive. How many knows you serve a living God? Our God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's doing great things in you. He's doing great things in you. He's doing great things in me. He's doing great things in the world. Our God's a living God. We don't serve a Buddha that's dead. We don't serve we don't serve Muhammad. He's dead. We don't serve any other. We serve a living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we do. But I saw Him. He's alive. He hears me and delivers me from all my fears. And again, I'm going to go back to... Listen, Corey, that was an on-time word this morning, by the way. You would never have cried out to God if He didn't think He was going to hear you. I would never cry out to an inanimate object... Little ADD going there. I want to cry out to a living God that I know is going to hear me and is going to answer me. And the thing that He answers with, He delivers me from all of my fears. The thing that gets you the most when you're a dad and your child is sick or hurt is the fear. Am I going to be able to help them? Are they going to be okay? Is this night going to end really, really bad? Fear grips you. But listen, when the Lord comes into the situation, fear has got to go. Someone say amen. Fear's got to go. Why? Because God is in control. He always has been. He always will be. I can trust in Him because He is faithful to do all that I need Him to do. And when I call on Him, I'm calling Him out of trust. He said, I sought Him, He heard me, and He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says this. He says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with your whole hearts. Have you wholeheartedly searched for God? Are you looking for answers? Are you looking for God's help? Are you looking for power in a time of need? Are you looking for His presence? Have you sought Him? Have you sought Him? Listen, He's not playing hide and seek on us. Matter of fact, He's just the opposite. The first thing He did was He sought us first. He was searching out for you first. Every single one of us calling us by name, everyone in existence has been searched out by God first. We don't love Him because we love Him. We love Him because He loved us first. He sought us. But then anything after that, we will have to seek Him. You will not find if you do not seek. You will not have if you do not ask. The door will not be open if you do not knock. Jesus said this, seek, ask, and knock. David said, I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to seek after Him. I'm going to call upon His name. He's going to hear me, and everything's going to be just fine. We got to get it into our minds and into our hearts that when we come into a hard time, we seek Him. We praise Him. We do it out of our need for Him rather than we don't do it because we have issues with our feelings. Someone say amen. Huh? Feelings will betray you. They will betray you. But facts. Truth will never fail you. The truth is this, that when we call upon His name, He will hear us. We have to diligently seek Him with all of our heart. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And David's like, I know I'm in a cave. And I know it looks bad because I'm cornered. If Saul ever finds the opening to this cave, he'll find me and all these 400 of my friends. And it's over for us. Right? If he went on feelings, he wouldn't do anything. He'd be a sitting duck. But listen, out of his dire need, he calls upon the Lord and he seeks the Lord and the Lord answers. We must pursue him once we've been found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I don't need anything else but him. And when we have that connection with that relationship with him, we have everything else. And everything else falls into place. I love it what he says here in verse 6. He said, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Who's he talking about? Now, he could be talking about himself, this poor man, if he was a homeless cave dweller. But I think he was talking about somebody else. I think he was talking about one of those fellows, the 400 fellows in the cave with him that was debt-ridden. Listen, back in those days, if you had debt, you had to sell yourself for a length of time to get out of debt. How many would do that? Right? Listen, you'd be cutting your credit cards up right now if you had to serve somebody for a year over your debt. I guarantee it. Back then, they didn't have no credit cards. What they did was, I had my signature, or I had my oath. I'm going to serve you whatever you need done for an entire year to pay off this debt. That was how they did. And all these people that were around David were poor and destitute, in debt, had real issues. He said, this poor man, could have been pointing at Carl over here or Joe over there. I think he was pointing at me. This poor man. This poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord saved him out of all of his trouble. This poor man was absolutely shackled with alcoholic problems. I was an alcoholic for a long time. Y'all might not have known that about me. I've been free from alcohol for over 28 years. Praise God. Thank you. Don't praise me, praise him. I could have never done it on my own. I didn't even want to quit drinking. He gave me the desire to quit, and he gave me the power to quit. I would have never made it had it not been for the power and the presence of God. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved me from the bondages of alcohol, from the prison. Listen, I was in a prison. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything if it didn't involve the alcohol. And that was terrible. I was so bad. It was so devastating to my life. It ruined everything. Ruined my job, ruined my marriage. Listen, now I didn't lose my job. I didn't lose my marriage. And I didn't get a DUI. But I darn sure could have done all three. All three could have happened to me. I don't know how they didn't. I have no idea. I could have lost my family forever. I could have drove out there and killed somebody or myself. I think it would have been far worse if I'd have hurt somebody else. But that's the kind of prison that we are in. That's the kind of cave we're dwelling in when we refuse to look up to him, when we refuse to call upon his name. Listen, he sought me out. He pulled me out of that. He drew me out of that. He saved me out of that. He healed me from that. He delivered me from all of that. He redeemed me and called me his son. He said, you're my child and I love you. This poor man. You and I are the same. There's no difference between us. There's no difference. What he did, listen, and it ain't got nothing to do with how much money you got. It ain't got nothing to do with what your bank account looks like. Because listen, he will heal and deliver a broke man just as much as he'll heal and deliver a rich man. Same. His love for you is priceless and immeasurable. I was in the dungeon of my own making. God deliver me from all of it. And God will deliver you from whatever dungeon that you're producing for yourself. Whatever addiction you might have, whatever you may have fallen prey to, listen, this world's got a whole bunch of things that you can fall into that will not let you go. They will not release you. They will not let you serve God. But God will release you from it. Someone say amen. Amen. He follows that up by saying this, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Woo! Taste and see that the Lord is good. Are you telling me that I can taste God? Yes, you can. You can get a taste. It ain't going to be on your taste buds. And it's not going to be like a jalapeno on your tongue. But He will flavor your soul with joy. Woo! He's got a recipe for something that you need deep down inside, and you're not going to get from food, you're not going to get from alcohol, you're not going to get it from drugs, you're not going to get it from sex, you're not going to get it from any thrill seeking that you can possibly get in this life. But he gives it to us deep down in our soul. It's like soul nourished bodies for our minds, for our spirits. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And listen, that word is a loaded word. It means that everything about God is perfect and good and righteous. There is not an unrighteous bone in His body, if He has bones. There is not a notion of any kind of evil at all in Him at all whatsoever. Everything about God is good and for our good. Why? Because God so loved the world. God so loved you. God so loved you. And God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would receive Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is how you know that we serve a good God. Taste Him. Listen, some people are afraid to get a taste of God. Listen, once you get a taste, I'm sorry, but after you get that taste, you're going to want the whole meal. I want the appetizer, I want the entree, and I want dessert after it. I want it all. Why? Because when you get your first initial taste of God and how He can move in your life and deliver you from all your fears and protect you from things, when you get a taste of that, you want more. God will let you have a taste. He'll let you have that first taste. Listen, that's how they get you, is with that first freebie. Huh? Yes, sir. I walked into it. We were in Gatlinburg on vacation. And I walked into a sweet shop. First mistake. And the guy at the counter said, "Hey, I got some peanut butter fudge. You want to try it?" And he had these little samples of peanut butter fudge. "Yeah, I'll try it." Bad mistake. Now I have to buy up the whole daggone store. Because I tasted it. I saw that it was good. I saw it was good with my eye. But then I had to take some of it in. And when I take some of it in, oh, the first little bit's free. But the rest of it, listen, that stuff is expensive, man. I think it was like $20 for a little pack like that. Oh, and then he turned me on to the hot dilly beans. Oh. And so I had to buy a whole bunch of those. I'm here to tell you this morning, taste of the Lord. See that He is good. Listen, don't be afraid of it. Don't let fear of something that I can't control come over. Don't let that fear come over you. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and everything about Him is good. Everything about Him is right. Everything about Him is holy. Everything about Him is righteous. And when you bring yourself in a connected relationship with Him, all these things can be yours as a child of God. All of these things. And He said, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Are you going to trust in Him? Are you going to trust that even if you're in a cave? Bat crap everywhere? Are you going to trust in Him when things don't go right? When the doctor says, well, we got a problem, you going to trust in him? Huh? I believe it was Apostle Paul said, though he slay me, yea, will I trust him. If I end up on a slab in a morgue, if David's, this is, I'm talking for David here. If I end up in a slab on a morgue, in a morgue, I'm still going to trust him with my last breath. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you put yourself squarely on his side? And does his praise continuously come from your mouth? I'm telling you here this morning that it's highly possible, highly probable, that if you taste and see that the Lord is good, that his praise will continually be in your mouth and in my mouth. And then we come here together, we join together. Listen, and my praise just ain't going to happen just here on Sunday morning. It's going to happen on the way to work in my car. It's going to happen when I'm working in the backyard mowing the lawn. It's going to happen wherever I am. I can always praise the Lord. Always. I can always tehillah. I can always praise him. I can always hallelujah. And so can you. The solution to our life and death struggle is a close relationship with a mighty, powerful, loving God. And it's his greatest desire for you individually and us collectively to come into a relationship with him so that we may experience all that he has to offer us. We need a soul-transforming encounter with the living God. Do you know that you can have that today? Matter of fact, right now, God's doing something in your life right now. I know he is. I can feel that. He's touching you deep in your soul right now. And praise is going to come from that. And joy is going to come from that. But did you know we can have that encounter with him right now? Right now. They're going to play a song. They're going to sing. I love it. I love when they do that. And I'm going to open this altar because God has led me to do that. And I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. Listen, I don't want you to be embarrassed about it. We all need this encounter with God. And if you have yet to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do not let this moment pass you by. How do I come into a place where I can taste and see that the Lord is good? When I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and save me. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard, and he answered. That is a prayer that he will answer 100%, no question. Oh, but you don't know what I've done in my life. It don't matter what you've done in your life. You've never seen what I've done. And God saved me. God will save you. And listen, beyond you, God will save your family. God will save your friends. But you have to be the first taster. David was the first taster. They had 400 guys in a cave. He said, taste of the Lord, guys. Taste of the Lord. And they all joined in. And listen, he blessed them all. Blessed them all. The end of that story is David became a king. It was awesome. The end of that story is Saul paid the price for his vengeance. And David was exalted. This altar is open right now. Please come and listen. Have an encounter with God. All you listen, just come here, close your eyes and stand there and cry out to God for whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is you need, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever cave you're dwelling in this morning, come to this altar. Have the encounter. Taste and see that he's good. Come and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Do not let today pass you by. This altar is open. Would you sing? This altar is open.
That's an assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my forefend in the fire time. I'm born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary for me. I trust in God, my Savior, the Lord. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. He will never fail. He will never fail. Darkness of danger. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow's forecast. This is my story. And this is my song. Raising my risen King and Savior all day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, and I heard and He answered. I saw the Lord and He heard. And He answered, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God. My Savior, the one. He will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one.
Oh, yeah.
He will never fail. He will never fail.
Oh, His presence is real and tangible. You can feel Him all over this place. You can feel Him down in your soul. Why? Because you've tasted and you've seen that the Lord is good. Lord, we thank You so much for Your loving kindness. We thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. We thank You so much, Lord, for Your presence, Your power, Your peace, Your provisions, Your protection, and Your purpose in our lives. Lord, help us on our journey this week, that we might go out and spread this joy, Lord, the joy that's in our soul, the joy that only you can bring. Lord, let it push out all the negative things. Lord, let your joy shine through in us, in our eyes, in our faces, in our lives. Lord, as we go into our workplace, as we go home, as we go to our families, and Lord, and whatever that we're doing, wherever that we are, Lord, let your praises be continuously in our mouths. Lord, because it's infectious. It's infectious. Help us to touch other people with your joy. We'll never fail to honor you and give you the praise and the glory that you deserve. We thank you for it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 We love you. God loves you. God bless you is our prayer. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord.